Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Manupa, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Mfundisi. Are you well?
All is well. The Lord has been with us. The Lord has kept us, and we are excited. It's Thursday, man.
Yeah,
we're almost at the Sabbath,
and so the excitement is brewing. I can hear and I can feel it. I can feel it. It is here.
Yes, fantastic.
Yeah. Now we're talking about grace again. This week is a fantastic topic, I must say, and you're unpacking these things in such a crystal clear manner, and we are grateful for that. And so today, when we talk about love, sometimes we have trouble understanding if God has love and expresses love as we do, or if He simply just His love, and His Word tell us that. And so we want to just check on that. By the time we finish this conversation, and in the subject of grace, we find ourselves in the same position. Is grace a state of being? Or is it something that is practiced? And can a human being have grace? Or is it only attributed to God? And so these are the questions we're going to be grappling with this afternoon. And so first off, Mfundis, can a sinful human being have grace?
Can a sinful human being have grace? That's an interesting question.
Because it's a godly attribute, eh?
let's pause for prayer.
All right.
Father, we thank you this afternoon for the blessing of being with us, the blessing of carrying us, the blessing of providing for us, and once more, the blessing of being able to sit at your feet as we listen to you speak to us. Thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's an interesting question. But maybe let me start off here on the subject of the ability of a person to have grace.
Yes.
I'm actually coming from a bereavement. A friend of mine, a guy I grew up with in Soweto. Killed himself last night.
Oh man!
And so.
Sorry about that.
You know, it just got me in my feelings a bit. Mm. And but I pray that the Lord will carry us through this one.
Truly apologize for that.
Thank you. When God is, maybe let me put it this way, Dan.
Mm.
God is intentional about grace. God is intentional about having grace towards us. And that should say a lot to us as people, that actually God, actually we should be intentional about being gracious to each other. Because you see, when God had the idea to create man.
Mm.
My brother was a fashion designer. He designs academic courses now for a university down in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent a lot of time with him when he was designing clothes, especially when he was a fashion designer. And so one time I'm watching him, he's making a bag, a handbag, for a lady who was going for a matric dance. And as I was watching him make the handbag, he halfway through, he abandons the idea and starts from scratch. You know, he scraps everything and then he starts from scratch and uses the patterns and he cuts. And this time around, he alters the patterns. And, you know, it's got a fresh cut and all of that and so forth. Now, when God was designing man in his mind, he had the opportunity to go through time and see how man would be made, and see how man would fall into sin, and see how man would mess up, and see how man would fail, and see how man would be depressed, and see how man would be hurt, and see how man would... Mankind was not a mistake when God made mankind. He says, I knew you from the foundations of the earth. When mankind was being cleansed, he was being cleansed from the foundations of the earth. So by the time God makes mankind, it is a plan that he has already had for a very long time. And that is why he's not surprised when we get into trouble. He's not surprised when we get into a hurtful situation. He's not surprised by any of those things. Because the reality of the matter is this. Mm. God had the plan from the beginning. And the fact that we were going to fall into sin, and the fact that we were going to have problems, and the fact that we were going to have all these issues, did not stop him from intentionally creating mankind. Mm. Did not stop him from intentionally loving us. Did not stop him from intentionally having grace upon us. You know the fact that we did not choose him as mankind when we were supposed to choose him with the situation in the Garden of Eden. That did not stop God from allowing himself to have grace on us and to love us and to come to a point where we are. Now, that gives us the opportunity to look into, to have a glimpse into what love and to how grace interacts with love and how we ought to commune with one another. Mm. Because if God was intentional, regardless of us not choosing him, he chooses us. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend of mine posted on her social media this morning, and she was saying the fact that your parents love you because they are your parents. Mm. Your children love you because they are your children. Mm-hmm. But you are living with this person who loves you because they choose to love you on a daily basis. Mm. And that's the power of choice that God has when he loves us and he shows us grace. Because if you have been married for 2 seconds, my elder, you will know that the marriage will not last unless you forgive. That forgiveness is prepaid. It's not something that you give you give when the trespass or when the sin happens. When the sin happens, that's not the time to be giving forgiveness. The time to be giving forgiveness is before the sin takes place, so that when the sin takes place, it has already been paid, prepaid for before it actually takes place. Now that gives us a glimpse into how much we ought to be able to love each other, how much we ought to be able to have grace for one another, how much we ought to be able to interact with one another in a way that allows both of us to have a relationship that resembles a relationship between ourselves and God. And so it becomes a power statement when one says, can one have grace to somebody else? Yes, we ought to have grace, because as the one who sets an example for us, who is Jesus, the one who sets an example for us, who is Emmanuel, the one who sets an example for us, who is Adonai, the one, that same person has chosen us before, has chosen us now, and continues to choose us into the future.
You know, for this, when we go to, I think we started this with this definition on Monday, where you talked about grace being a favor that is undeserved, unmerited. So this is a favor that is given to another without any merit. Now, is it not a recipe for abuse and being taken advantage of, to freely give to someone who does not deserve? I mean, we're humans after all.
Hey, man, that's a powerful question. Mm. That's a powerful question. I read somewhere, I can't remember when, about a month or so back, mm-hmm. I read somewhere where they said, where this person was motherly, I think, at the situation they were finding themselves in. And this person was saying, how come it is the marriages of those who are uneducated that last longer?
Mm.
The marriages of the educated don't last. The marriages of those who know, who say, I know, those marriages don't last.
Yeah.
It is the marriages of the ones who are not educated that last. I looked at that statement and I thought to myself, I don't think it's about being educated. I think it's about the choice that one makes, a choice that says that I am not going to be litigious in approach. I'm going to be graceful in approach. When you are litigious, it means that, there are people, you walk into their homes and you find them there and the laws and the rules and the regulations are heavy. You sit there and you think, how come the rules here are so heavy? When you are listening to the man speak, he will be saying that children shouldn't be heard, they must be seen.
Mm.
Because when a child speaks, it's a taboo. The child must only be seen that they are there. I'm trying to be kind because I know I'm going to step on some toes here. Mm. But maybe let me rip it all open. You find a man sitting at home, and the children are always afraid, trembling. This is the same guy at church who is the friend of all the children from the youth, the whole youth department, from the senior youth all the way to kindergarten, the ones who are still crawling, they are all friends of the elder. Then at home, his own children cannot even speak to him. He doesn't know if the child is having bully at school, or the child is struggling with liking a boy at school, or the child is struggling with Charles Darwin's ideas of evolution. He's got no clue about what the child is going through in life, because he has made friends with other people's children. But at home, his own children don't know him. He himself doesn't know his own children.
Mm.
And that becomes a problem because we don't love our own. We love them far away. And our love for far away is a problem. Because when we love them far away, it is cosmetic. It's not real.
Mm.
It's fake.
Doesn't come with responsibility. Mm.
Say that again.
I'm saying it doesn't come with responsibility.
It doesn't actually come with. It doesn't come with responsibility. That's why it is fake. Because when something happens in that person's life, somebody else must take responsibility for it. But you've got your own situation here, and your own love needs to be taking place here, so that you can take responsibility for it, you can take commitment for it, you can show, you see, in my language, bare okwaka letlalo, which means you feel it on the skin.
Mm.
It's no longer a cosmetic. There's no buffer in between. When the child's tears come down, you are there as a parent to foot the bill on whatever that is bringing the child's tears down on your child's face. And so the issue becomes taking personal responsibility and taking personal commitment to make sure that all of this, the love is there and the grace is there.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Now, let's come back and focus on God. Is grace something that God does, or is it something that He is? Because I know that with love, we know that He is love. I mean, it's clearly defined. But with grace, it does seem that there's a gray area there. Please take us out of this misery.
You see, when we were dealing with the character of God, which is God's Ten Commandments,
right?
We deal with who God is. It's His character. It's English is failing me.
His
very essence, His core,
the core of
who He is, it comes out or is explained or it is clearly visible when you look at the Ten Commandments. And so when you begin to look at whether grace is in God's character, you find it in every single one of the commandments. Of course, we don't have time to go through all the commandments now, but what we have time for is this. God's grace is... Remember we made a distinction between mercy and grace. God's grace is visible. From the onset when He says, for example, 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh day you will rest.
Yeah.
God's grace is visible right there. Because when He takes away the tiredness, when He takes away the fatigue, when He takes away the worries and the cares of the week, and He gives you rest, that rest, you actually did not deserve it.
Uh-huh.
You are given a gift called rest in Him. You see, here's why I'm saying you don't deserve it. Because every night people go to sleep. We wake up tired the following morning. We try to rest ourselves, and we still are not able to rest because we do not rest in the Lord. He says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." There is a blessing in God's character because it gives us grace. His grace is sufficient such that it gives us rest. You see, His grace is not only there in the periphery where we're looking at issues that are not personal. His grace is also here close to us where He gives us His rest. He gives us His presence. He gives us His the ability for us to not have a care or a worry. You see, when I try to find out what why my friend killed himself, part of it I actually knew. I just didn't know it would lead to this. He told me about his child's mother, who was verbally abusing him. They were no longer together, but she was highly, verbally abusive. And now I, just as I arrived, the guys were telling me, no, he had another girl who is now pregnant, And now there's a lady that he was seeing, and he was fighting with the lady that he was seeing because he's gotten another lady pregnant and all of that. It was very clear that he had a lot of stress and mental health issues and incapacity to deal with the challenges, regardless of whether he brought them on himself or not. That's another subject for another day.
Yeah, yeah.
The issue is that the capacity that he had to handle his challenges was not able to carry him through another day. And yet Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden." He doesn't ask if you have created those burdens yourself or they were put on you by somebody else. All he says is, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Because the grace he has for us is not grace that is... You see, if he was going to blame us, those guys, Barry Elite 7, they say, "I don't know why Jesus loves me so."
Yeah, yeah.
Because they also know that if Jesus... The song goes on to say, "Ngeka kubuze." What the lyric says, "Ngeka kubuze," how you got into that situation. I'm failing to the Zulu part, failing me now. But the song says he won't ask you how you got into the situation. He will only love you even more because that's how Enoch looks at his child. He looks at the child, and the child cries, and he loves the child. He looks at the child messes himself, and he loves the child even more. He looks at the child, and the child is hungry. He loves the child even more. He looks at the child, and the child is helpless, and he loves the child even more. You see, whether the child gets into trouble because of themselves or not, Enoch loves the child even more, and so he shows grace to the child. He doesn't ask the child, how come you are hungry now? You just ate, or how come you have messed yourself up? I mean, can't you see the rest of us were trying here? We go to the lavatory. No, he loves the child, even if the child is doing any other thing. He loves the child even more. And so God becomes one who cares for us in that way. My friend was really supposed, maybe let me talk to somebody who is in that situation right now, that call a pastor and talk to him about your problems. Call a friend and talk to them about your problems. Call somebody who is able to listen to you, who will be able to pray for you, who will be able to show you grace, to show you love, to show you mercy.
Yeah.
And talk to them about the challenges that you're going through. Because it is not worthy for you to take your own life when you could have spoken to somebody and said, "Please pray for me."
Now, Mfundisi, I want us to wrap it up. Thank you so much for that. Actually, that's a mouthful. But I want to know, How do we access God's grace? I once heard someone a couple of years preaching from the pulpit, and one of the things he said there was that you got to place yourself on the path where grace will be passing through. Now, I don't know how far true is that. I don't know how we access grace, God's grace. Are you able to unpack that for us? Mfundisi, it is now 5 minutes before the hour, 3 o'clock. We are having a conversation with Pastor Mulupa. Pastor Mulupa, good afternoon. Ooh, looks like we have lost the pastor there. So we're going to be trying to get a hold of him once again in a short bit, because we just want to conclude this discussion this afternoon.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.